Hi, today's December 4th, 2016. This is Mobius Podcast number 186. I'm Todd Agasawar with my good friend John Westfall. And we got kind of just a mix of stuff. I don't think there was any big news last week, tech-wise.
Not really. You know, more and more, we're not finding a lot of tech news that's all that interesting. And I think that's because there's not all that much innovation going on over the last year.
People are just
sort of refining things, but we've seen Microsoft steal some pages out of the Apple playbook.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Apple make a bold move into removing a lot of ports, and we'll see how that goes. And we've seen Google keep on trucking along with random products that you wonder if they're going to be around for 5 minutes or 5 years. There's nothing that I've looked at and went, wow, that is a revolutionary thing from 2016.
Yeah, yeah. You know, perhaps we have reached the state in the 19th century, I should say, where, I can't remember who said it, but we have, we've kind of reached peak technology. There's nothing new under the sun.
Well, then this podcast is going to continue to be more and more interesting as we branch out into the wildly different things we can talk about.
Yeah, we might have to because we're running out of tech. Well, at least that's not true. There's always a lot of tech, but tech that we want to discuss that we feel semi-knowledgeable about. There's lots of tech we don't understand.
Well, and I think coming up in 2017, we're going to see some major changes. I think now that Google has decided that the Pixel line is where they're going to go and they're going to do premium and not budget, that's going to prove to be interesting to watch. Everyone for the last half year has been talking about how the iPhone 8 is going to be radically different from all of its predecessors.
Yeah, it's going to be a rectangle.
Yeah, and Samsung Samsung is going to try to stop blowing up things with their phones.
I want to bring, since you brought up Samsung, I want to say something. I'm really angry at them. You know, I did not have a Note 7 phone. I do have a Galaxy Tab 7 that just died a few weeks ago. Rest in peace. It's the first tablet I've ever had that died, by the way. But Samsung's, incendiary Note 7 has done something. Oh, how far do I want to go? Let's just call them bad people have failed to do. I won't use the T word. They have made it impossible for those of us in Hawaii and Alaska to buy certain things from Amazon. I think. Because several of my friends said they were trying to order things with lithium-ion batteries, either in them or, you know, by themselves from Amazon. And we were able to buy them up until maybe earlier this year, like January, February. I remember buying stuff with batteries. No problem. You now cannot have them shipped to Hawaii or Alaska. And this, of course, first came up several weeks ago when I was trying to buy the Acer, Chromebook R13 that I've been wanting. The one that, you know, it's a really nice hybrid Chromebook. And Acer is still researching it, although I'm pretty sure it's a battery problem. Not a battery problem, but the fact that it has a relatively large battery. They have stopped commerce of a significant kind from Amazon to Hawaii. Other people can ship batteries. Which leads into the next thing, and I wanted to give a shout-out to... I'll change our show notes a bit. I'll give a shout-out to Fitbit. My wife's Charge HD, it's one of those wristband-type Fitbits, died while she was traveling the other week. So I emailed Fitbit with her email address so she could take care of it. And I think it was at the edge of the warranty period, and they could have been really stinkers about it and said, hey, you know, you're one day out of warranty, too bad, so sad. But instead, they just shipped her a new one.
Hmm.
So, you know, no fuss, no hassle, just, yeah, yours is broken. We're going to send you a new one, so shout out to Fitbit. But here's the interesting thing. So, you know, tiny, you know, people know how big a Fitbit charge is, a little tiny wristband. Comes in a little package. I took a photo of it. Maybe I'll post it with this podcast on the blog. And on the back of it, basically, it's got this giant warning that, you know, if this bag has been punctured or whatever, you know, it's got a lithium-ion battery, and you got to be careful because people might die. And oh, here it is. Caution, lithium-ion batteries do not load or transport package if damaged. And then they give a 1-800 number to call. And they've got like a big fire symbol and It's pretty frightening looking.
I can imagine it would be. I think this lithium ion thing, I think you're right. I think we'll have to see if the Samsung fallout continues to fall on you. But that is great to hear about Fitbit, because Fitbit's one of those companies I would like to think will kind of continue to be a good third alternative to kind of the big tech companies and their fitness trackers.
Yeah. And, you know, back when I wore my Fitbit on my belt, you know, I had a little Fitbit belt clip. I not just stick it in my pocket, but from my original Fitbit. And the belt clip broke, and it was out of warranty, but I emailed Fitbit, said, hey, can I buy one? And they said, we'll just send you one. And, you know, it took a little while, but sure enough, you know, about a month later, I got a new belt clip free of charge. So, yeah, like you say, Fitbit's one of the good guys from a customer service point of view. And really hope they survive. And they also bought one of your favorite companies, Pebble.
Yeah, that will be a real interesting pairing, because I think if they can use some of the tech that Pebble has, the e-ink displays and kind of the following from that, and do that right, we might see Fitbits that have even crazier good battery life than they already have now.
Right.
Because Pebble, you know, the battery life on that is extremely, extremely nice. So. Right.
And finally in this, not finally in the podcast, but finally on this topic of customer service, I want to challenge, you know, our fives of listeners out there to this little challenge. So if you are an Apple customer of some kind and you have an iPhone or iPad, go to the Apple app and see how many clicks it takes and how long it takes you to make an appointment at the Genius Bar. You can try it from the web too. Either way, just try to make an appointment at Genius Bar. Tell me how long it takes you to actually do this. because
I did see your posts earlier this week, and in sort of a moment of solidarity, I tried to find where to do this. And yeah, you've hit on something interesting that Apple has started hiding from us a bit.
Yeah. So there's a company going backwards in customer service, but anyhow. I did find out one thing, though. I did visit the Apple store yesterday to ask them about, you know, making an appointment at Genius Bar for my wife, who's got an Apple Watch coming in. And they said, oh, if you have an Apple Watch coming in, you don't need an appointment. They'll just do that when you're there to help you out, you know, pair it with your phone and all that kind of stuff. So I said, oh, great. You know, that's nice. But, you know, what if you're not near an Apple store and you need some help? But, you know, if you're going to make a long trip, like, for example, my daughter is about 60, 70 miles from the nearest Apple store. And, if you know, definitely want a fixed time to get help, mm-hmm. go there to get help. But anyway. Okay, next up is something I think those of us who are Netflix subscribers have been waiting for a long, long time. And that's the ability to download videos for offline viewing. That finally happened this past week. Unfortunately, I guess not too surprising. It's not for all videos. And as you might guess, it is mostly for Netflix original programs, which more and more are making up most of Netflix's or more of Netflix's content. And based on our accidental test, it looks like you are limited to downloading concurrently to two devices. So if two devices have a download on it, you cannot download it to a third device. So, you know, if like you have an iPhone, you have one on your iPhone, and your wife has one on an iPad, now you want one on your iPad, that won't work. Somebody has to delete one of their downloads.
Well, and this
fair.
Is
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and this is something that honestly people have been asking for quite some time. And I think Netflix is just wise in responding to that. I'm kind of surprised it took them this long to respond to that.
Yeah, well, you know, I think they still have a problem. I haven't looked hard. But I don't know how many non-Netflix originals you can download. You know, basically, if you're going off on a trip and you just want a bunch of stuff to watch, your best bet is to start off with some of the Netflix original programming that you might be interested in and you know, just not waste a lot of time searching for stuff. And Netflix, I think, as I mentioned here earlier, has said that they want to have up to 50% of their streaming programming, be original programming by something like 2020. So they are apparently having a real hard time licensing content.
Well, and that might not be such a bad thing for them. The original programming seems to be doing pretty well. And they have now, they've pretty much been able to separate their DVD business off.
Yeah.
To DVD.com. Yeah. So Netflix might just be where you go to get good original content in the future.
It could be. They could be the new HBO, you know, who became, who started off as a content re-presenter, I guess you could say. Present other people's stuff, and then with Sopranos and other content became a real high-end, top-of-the-line content producer. So we'll see. But it's a good start, I think. And one of the things I found interesting is Netflix is not being provincial about the original content. I noticed, for example, you know, they show what's new on Netflix at the top of the screen when you go on the website. And one of the things I noticed was a kind of interesting-looking science fiction, you know, apocalyptic science fiction-type show that it was done in Portugal, I think. So, yeah. I mean, you know, we see in the U.S., we see a lot of content from Great Britain. And then, of course, depending on your ethnicity, you may, you know, go out and go find other kinds. Actually, you won't even find it locally much. But we don't really see a lot of programming from, you know, South America or Europe, not part of, you know, GB, not part of Great Britain. You know, we don't see original content from Sweden or, you know, Germany or France or Portugal or Spain. At least I don't. Not on our local TV stations. So it's kind of interesting that they're, you know, they're producing a wide variety of languages and content. So it's one of the ones I was thinking about watching. Sounded interesting.
Yeah, I think that's just what we all just have to start doing is start exploring these things that, for whatever reason, we haven't thus far. We need to stop sort of having our biases about what we think will be good and bad content.
Yeah, well, you know, in the U.S., we're very provincial, right? We hardly know about what's happening in the rest of the world. I mean, you know, I remember when there were floods in, I think, British Columbia or something. It was just horrific floods, and there was very little. I just happened to know because I was watching. At that time, CBC used to have a channel on my cable provider, which is no longer available, and I used to watch it because I liked their news. But, you know, CNN, didn't cover it.
Are there things happening in the rest of the world we're supposed to care about?
Apparently not.
News to me.
Yeah, I mean, the only outside of the U.S. news that I think made a lot of attention was in astronaut Buzz Aldrin, who I think is like 90-something now, had to be medevaced out of Antarctica recently.
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
You know, but that's everything else, the riots in South Korea or that kind of stuff, not so much.
Like I said, you act like you're supposed to know about this stuff. You know, we're number one. Why care about anyone else?
Yeah. Any case, next up is for those of you who are Microsoft types, their 12 days of deals starts tomorrow, depending on when you hear that. But tomorrow for us is Monday, December 5th. So you might want to take a look at that. I'm not sure I want to buy anything, but they had like tablets starting at $50 and things. So might not be, you know. If they can ship it to us in Hawaii, we'll find out.
Man, you're really bitter about this.
No, just a little. Just a little.
Just the fact that nobody wants to send you anything.
Yeah. But, you know, I spoke to Acer about the Chromebook R13, by the way. They're really nice about it. They offered to loan me one. I said, no, I'm not looking for a loaner. I want to buy it. I believe in your product. I'm going to, you know, I'm giving you the best tech review you can get. I'm voting with my credit card, you know. They did tell me that there were a couple left in the Best Buy, which is not too far from my office. And so, in fact, I got the email mid-morning, and I clicked on a link, and I saw there were like three left or two left. And I said, I'm not sure if I really want to buy it locally. You know, I'm not sure I really want to drive a couple miles and go get it during lunch. But as we got closer to lunch, about 10:30, I said, okay, fine. I'll buy it, you know, and have it held over at Best Buy, and I'll go pick it up during lunch. And, of course, it dropped to zero just as I was ready to So, in any case, thank you, Acer, for trying. They're still looking up why they can't. Amazon won't ship it, but I'm pretty sure it's the battery thing.
I think Amazon just knows who you are. They're not going to let it.
Yeah. And the final one of my items before we get to your list of stuff, including your rant, it's you know, we're not quite done with 2016, but Google apparently is. And so they have a Google Play Best of 2016 in terms of movies and songs and games and things like that. And the thing I notice is, number one, the top trending apps, most of us have never heard of. Face Changer 2 is their number one trending app of 2016 for Android. I can guess what it does, but you know, it's not one of those things you really see way up high in iOS, for example. There's a selfie editor called Lumure, I don't know, CastBox, Podcast, Radio Music. I should look at that. Emoji Pro Keyboard and MSQRD, which is like a photo app that puts animal faces on you. So really interesting mix of stuff compared to the iOS world. You know, not really a lot of big name. In fact, no big name apps.
I really hate to say it because it falls into the stereotype way too much. It really does seem like no one's doing any real work on Android.
Well,
but I think what we're really seeing, that's one way to look at it, but I think the other way to look at it is that Android is much more accessible to a wider range of people, and for whatever reason, the lower accessibility, I think, makes it so that the more fun and entertainment apps are the ones that actually have an advantage on Android versus iOS.
Okay, and before we get too high and mighty about about iOS users, I'm looking at the top free apps right now, right? The top 10. First is Bitmoji, your personal emoji. Next is Facebook Messenger. Second is YouTube. Okay. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. Amateur Surgeon number 4 comes in number 7, if that's something you aspire to, John. Netflix is number 8. 8-Ball Pool, and then Google Maps. So, you know, we're not talking about a lot of productivity just looking at the app list.
I'm looking at this, and Amateur Surgeon, though. That does look like, very interesting. Yeah, that seems like it'd be valuable information for me.
You can never tell. You can never tell. But what I really found interesting were that the top movies. Okay, so the top movie, grossing movie of 2016 is Captain America Civil War. I'm looking at highest grossing films on Wikipedia. Followed by Finding Dory, Zootopia, The Jungle Book, Secret Life of Pets, Batman v Superman, which I don't understand at all. And number 7 is Deadpool, okay? But on the Google Plays, you know, I guess, best, I don't know. Anyway, they love Deadpool's number 1. Captain America Civil War is number 2. And more interesting, if you scroll down at the top 5 books of 2016, Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe, number 1. So Google, or you know, Google users or Android users, they really like Deadpool, which I enjoyed the movie a lot, by the way. But I just want to point out it was not the number 1 movie. It was number 7, which did quite well. It was a lot of fun. And I'm pretty sure the best-selling book of 2016 elsewhere is probably not Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
But I thought you were going to say that I thought you were like saying book. Well, I guess you are saying book, otherwise...
It's book.
Deadpool. Yeah. Deadpool is just amazing in the way that Deadpool has pulled many things.
Yeah. And in fact, it's not even like a graphic novel. It collects the 4 issues, kind of a special run of Deadpool. That thing is 4 issues long. So you could have buy 4 individual comic books, and they combined it into one, and that's the number 1 best top book of 2016. Cool. Followed by, for people who wonder, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, parts 1 and 2. The Girl and the Train, which I believe is also made into a movie. The Art of War, which is probably the oldest book on the list. By several centuries, at the very least. And Me Before You, a novel, is number 5. So those are the 5 books in the top 5 books of 2016, according to Google Play.
Man, this podcast has just gone for many different things thus far. Like we said, we are expanding our purview.
We are running out of stuff to talk about, so we'll go to movies, we'll go to...
Well, we can rant. I can rant AirPods.
Yeah. Did you get yours yet?
the one thing... So I thought it was actually very interesting, this story this week, because of the way that allegedly this person got Apple's Tim Cook to respond to him. So... Okay. And Tim Cook does respond from time to time.
Okay.
And this is something that, you know, the email headers looked legit on. In fact, I myself wrote something to Tim Cook a few years ago and actually got a response back.
Nice.
So I will say that this might be true. But this person basically asked about AirPods availability, and Tim Cook's response was that they should be shipping. He expected that they would be shipping within the coming weeks, which, of course, the entire future of the planet is in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you go 400,000 weeks out, we're pretty far. But the interesting thing that I thought, and I thought this was a very good point that the person who wrote this email to Tim Cook made, was that he basically said, you know, I really bought into your vision of the future when you presented it in September and said, we don't need any stinking headphone port because we're going wireless and we want wireless and all that.
Sure.
And I can't get your vision of the future because your AirPods have been pushed back farther and farther. And so when am I going to be able to realize this, you know, utopian dream?
Right.
And I thought that was a fair point. You know, Apple has made a name for itself of providing, of selling people not on a product, but on an experience. And if my experience is I would like to not have headphone cords, I would like to have these things, it's fair criticism, I think, to say, where is it?
It is fair indeed. And again, you know, another problem, well, not the problem, but another thing I'll ask you once you get yours is the problem I'm having with Bluetooth specifically on the iPhone 7 Plus running iOS 10.1 is it is not a stable stack. If I, you know, move from the audio app while it's still playing, let's say a podcast, and I go to email and I start scrolling through my email, I will get sound breakup. And I'm holding the iPhone in front of my face, so it's not a distance problem. You know, it's not my fatness between absorbing the absorbing the radio signal between the headset, a Bluetooth signal, radio signal between the headset and my phone. It is literally, you know, 6 inches from my headset. It is a performance problem, which it did not happen on the 6 Plus, by the way, also running 10.1. So it's unique to the 7.1, but it's really irritating. But you did get your Beats thing, right? Whatever they're called.
Yeah, and I have the Beats, and the Beats are nice, but I wanted something that was a little bit smaller so that I could, you know, take them with me places. The Beats are a good temporary.
Those are cans, right?
Yeah, they're not big cans, but they are cans.
Yeah. Yeah, so no AirPods for Christmas, or what do you think? What's the odds? What's the Vegas odds on this?
They're going to have to be announced this week, I think, if there's any chance of that for Christmas. I think what's probably going to be is we will not be seeing them that quickly.
That's a shame.
It is. It was something I think pretty much everyone is shocked that we're not going to see them that quickly.
Because, to be honest, I of course, have not bought any, nor do I plan to. And you know the reasons why I'm not going to, at least yet. But one of the things I was really hoping to see is people excitedly tweeting and posting to Facebook that they got an AirPod for Christmas, and then their New Year's resolution is, I'll never buy it again because I can't find the left side.
Yeah, you're still believing that AirPods are going to go missing all the time. We haven't been able to figure this out. We haven't even gotten the data yet on it.
I know, but, you know, sometimes you just got to go on belief, right?
On your hunch.
That's right. You know, some of the best scientific discoveries, I would guess, just started with a hunch. You know, but I think this. Let's test this hypothesis. But, you know, just evidence suggests that people lose stuff, I think, over the years. I think it's interesting, you know, because it might be in other dimensional kinds of stuff, not to go into conspiracy views, but I suspect a lot of these lost AirPods will be found with socks someday.
Yeah, well, they'll be in socks.
Yeah, they'll be in socks in another dimension. So, you know, once we perfect that trans-dimensional transportation, we will find the socks and we'll find lost AirPods. But that's that's someday in the future. Other than that, Apple stuff. Oh yeah, one more Apple thing here.
This week in technology, QuickTime, the video codec that has at times been the one that everyone loves to hate, turned 25 this week. It was originally announced and released on December 2nd, 1991. It got me thinking a little bit about audio and video codecs, because it seems like there are now more audio and video codecs that you can use in different permutations and this and that and compression, all that, especially as we start getting people saying, well, how am I going to get ultra HD content transportable around my home network without it taking up huge amounts of space? And so at a time when it's getting more complex, paradoxically, it almost seems like it's getting simpler because we have tools like VLC and other, and VLC is nothing new, but, you know, we've got VLC on iOS, and it's almost like I can open up anything I want and view it here and there, but if I try to create things, it's almost, you know, do I need it in this format for the Apple TV? Do I need it in that? Do I need it here, there, everywhere? So I just thought it was an interesting thing that audio and video codecs continue to evolve, but from a user standpoint, they seem to be getting simpler and simpler because we have more apps that support a wide subset of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if the codecs themselves are getting better. It's a little hard to tell because broadband has become so much better over the years that, you know, some of the deficiencies of codec may be hidden by just having more bandwidth. But I will say this, the delivery mechanisms for not the codec itself, but the way video and audio is delivered has improved vastly. And, you know, I'm thinking about Flash, which just got booted out of Chrome release 55, I think. Unless you're a big site, I think you can no longer play Flash, which is a good thing. And, you know, going back to audio, to thinking about, you know, what was around when QuickTime was available, or I can't believe it was way back in 1991. But shortly after that, if you remember Real Audio, which for a time had, you know, owned the world of streaming audio, at least, not so much, you know, download. And then became such a nuisance, it became Flash-like. Or I should say Flash became like Real Audio, I guess, since it preceded Flash. But it became so annoying and so unreliable and unstable that everybody stopped using it. I didn't really know what ever happened to Real Audio.
Yeah, I think Real Audio did just become much more uncontrollable than some of the other codecs. And so it became, and plus it just wasn't that quality.
Yeah. But, you know, in its time, it was revolutionary, right? It was the only pop, it was the most popular, I should say, streaming audio and later video, well, maybe not the video site wasn't that popular, but streaming audio available at the time. I can't think of anything else that was really doing that kind of Real Player, if you remember that. Well, I guess it's still around. Oh, that's amazing. I'm looking at Wikipedia. It's one of those, you know, we ought to, as we come to the, maybe either a new year or one of our last podcasts of this year, we should talk, do a Where Are They Now kind of thing. That'd be kind of interesting.
The world of old technology. Where did it end up? Yeah, we could do something like that. Maybe as we can't find a lot of news, we might as well find stuff
like
that.
Something old. Yeah.
Yeah, something old.
Well, and, you know, we can always fall back on this theme. So several years ago when I was doing some stuff for Byte Online, before it folded again, unfortunately, I was doing kind of a small series called Jurassic Tech, where I spoke with people who had been working in technology. I had some really interesting folks on. I spoke with the guy who, for example, brought the first digital camera from Sony over to the U.S. in the 1980s, the Mavic.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with the product manager for one of my favorite all-time products, the handheld PC Pro, or handheld PC 2000, if you remember that one. Keith Amont. That was super interesting. But, yeah, you know, old tech is interesting, especially in the context of what it means, or, you know, what we have today and what preceded it let us have what we have today. It's pretty amazing. So that could be kind of fun.
Well, now we have our plan. Now that we can't find a lot of exciting new stuff, we'll just talk about strange old stuff.
We'll do Jurassic Tech. Yep. Yep. Any case, that's pretty much it for this week. Not sure what our schedule is for the next couple of weeks as we come up to the end of the calendar year, but I think John's available at least one or two more times.
Mm-hmm.
Until then, and we'll see if there's actual news.
We'll try to find it.
Yeah. As you can tell, I'm really, really excited about that prospect. That just is not much. You know, I'd probably be more enthusiastic if I had my Chromebook running Android apps.
Enthusiastic if you could get anything that had a lithium-ion battery shipped to you.
You know, and if my Galaxy Tab 7 had not died, which is still kind of sad. My very first Cine tablet, yeah. So I had an iPad before it, of course, but it was my first I guess, 8-inch display tablet, which I thought was a great idea because Apple didn't have an iPad mini yet. But it was sad it died. It just died suddenly. I normally boot it up once a week and update the apps and things. And this time it updated the apps and then just died and never turned back on. But okay, so Mobile News Podcast number 186. Tadagaswara, John Westfall. We'll talk to you again next time.